I think we ended up in the late 70s with 4,000 rigs drilling, and then the bottom fell out. The drilling business has always been terribly cyclical. It'll be good for 2 or 3 years and then bad for 10 years, and then good for 2 or 3 years and then bad for 12 years. It was always a tough business.
But you were always bracing yourself, I suppose.
Well, we had the production company, so that when drilling was bad, we'd just limit exploration and still show a profit producing the oil and gas we had.
In 76, at the state capitol, you plugged the Francis number one well.
It's still there.
It's still standing, yeah. But that was a Helmerich and Payne well.
Helmerich and Payne was always a drilling company. So anything the drilling company did was Helmerich and Payne, even though still back then White Eagle Oil Company was the parent company. We never used the name White Eagle when we got contracts or did drilling. It was Helmerich and Payne. At that time, Helmerich and Payne was owned by White Eagle Oil Company.
And that had produced 1.2 million barrels of oil. But I think this is significant. Did Helmerich and Payne erect that derrick there on the Capitol grounds?
Sure. Back then, before you had the mast, all wells were drilled with erected derricks. The deep wells, where the rigs were bigger, there was an Indian tribe that did that erection. They'd just climb up and put it all together. Then, I don't remember exactly what year, Jack Bates was one of the first that used drilling masts. That was just a completed derrick that you just raised and saved a lot of time. I tried to get our vice president to use them, and he didn't want to. And we were too late in getting them, but when we finally got mast, then all of our rigs on mast today.
Mast, yeah.
In other words, a derrick you built from the ground up, just like you'd build a steel structure in a building. But a drilling mast comes in two or three pieces, and you just raise the thing from the ground. It's just a single piece of steel structure that you raise up like this and drill from.
That's such an iconic piece there on our state capitol grounds.
That's right.
We're all proud of,
yeah.
And it is a Helmerich and Payne job.
That's right.
By 1981, the oil boom began to come to an end. Prices and rig counts then began to fall.
Yeah, that was the result of a tremendous gas well drilled in the Fletcher Field in southern Oklahoma. Probably the biggest gas discovery ever had in the state. And as a consequence, within 10 days, 2 weeks, there were 15 or 20 deep rigs moved into that area to drill. And they were never able to complete that well. It was too deep, too hot, too difficult, and so the whole boom ended. And that was the beginning of the disaster in the drilling business. We went from 4,000 rigs to probably 12 or 1,300.
So you were always financially set so that you could take those hits?
Yeah. After that one incident in the early 50s in Venezuela, we never have had another losing year.
Then in 1981, December 19th, your father dies.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote a note to your employees talking about all that. You've talked earlier about your father. Should I say it was sometimes cool, sometimes close relationship?
Well, our business relationship was always, in many instances, conflict because he was the old school. It didn't necessarily accept some of the things I wanted to do. We'd argue about that, and 95% of the time, he'd let me go on and do what I wanted to do. I started running the company. He died in 81, and I was president in 67, and he never interfered with me, never once. But when I was coming up from 50 to 67, we had lots of business conflicts. Dad was just never, he never had time for me growing up. I mean, he was always busy, and he just never had time for me. So I had a very different kind of relationship than I've had, for instance, with my sons, who've been very close to me. But I always had a tremendous respect for him. He was honest, he was direct, he was hardworking, he was totally committed to the company. But when I became president, he walked into my office and said, "Okay, it's yours, I'm out of here." And he never once interfered from that day on.